On a football team, players are given their assignment, and with each play, they know what they're supposed to do. In the game of parenting, do we understand our assignment? Here's Barry St. Clair.
The problem is that at the core level, most parents have never identified what is really at the heart of what their parenting purpose is, and therefore, as a result of that, all of these things that are the normal day-to-day life things don't get impacted by that core purpose. So it's just stuff that's going on out here with no real connector at the core.
This is Family Life Today for Wednesday, October 7th. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. We're going to talk today about what is at the heart, what is the very core of our assignment as parents. Stay tuned. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. If I took you back to elementary school, you remember when the teacher taught you the three things necessary to make a fire. You remember this?
I don't. Elementary school was a painful experience for me, and I've been trying to erase it from my psyche.
Well, let's see if you can pull them up right now. Okay, the three things, if you want to build a fire,
you have to have oxygen.
Oxygen is one. That's correct.
Fuel
is number two.
And then you got to have fire.
You got to have spark. You got to have spark or heat in order. So okay. It's oxygen, fuel, and spark. And we're going to see if we can light a little fire under some parents today. And we brought the fuel to do it, right?
Bob, you are brilliant.
How about that, huh?
You are brilliant.
Thank you very much.
The name of this book is Parent Fuel by Dr. Barry St. Clair. And he joins us on the broadcast today. Barry, welcome.
I'm glad to be here, Bob. That was amazing.
Thank you. High five right there. Thank you.
Now, for many of our listeners, they're going to know Barry around youth ministry and working with high school, junior high students, which he's been doing since 1976. He's helped youth in over 30 countries around the world. I think some of the more interesting things about Barry, however, probably aren't known to our audience. He has run the Boston Marathon.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, what was your time?
2 hours and 56 minutes.
Seriously?
You broke 3 hours.
Yeah.
High five again on that. Way to go.
And how old were you when you did that?
I was about 40.
That's pretty.
That's pretty stout.
I couldn't
right
break 8 hours
pretty
now.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. But he has played college basketball and started to work with youth not long after graduation, as I did as well. And Barry stuck with it and not only worked with youth right out of college, but also founded the National Network of Youth Ministries, which is a group of about 80 different organizations that have really banded together to help youth pastors all across the country, and has now formed a new ministry called Reach Out Youth Solutions, which is all about equipping parents and churches and youth and helping the next generation thrive spiritually. He and his wife, Luana, live near Atlanta, Georgia. And the thing you need to know about Barry that is unique here as a parent, he has been a parent of a nuclear family, as we know it, with his first wife, who he was married to for 28 years until her death, and you had 4 children.
Yes.
Then you were a single parent after that for a couple of years, and then married Luana, so you have a blended family. So you've experienced, really, all forms of being a parent, right?
I would have never invited that into my life in my wildest dreams. Thought when I married Carol, that was it. We'd live together forever. It didn't happen that way in God's providence. And then I had the amazing experience of being a single dad, and then the very complicating experience of blending a family. And now we've got a total of 9 kids, 9 grandkids, and 2 more on the way, so soon to be 11 grandchildren.
Your book is really just chock full of practical ways parents can build into the next generation. But one of the things I found is a great big idea, just to get into it a bit, is you say parents today are asking the wrong question. It's not about helping your child succeed. So what is the right question?
Well, most parents are asking, how do I help my kids turn out right? And that's a performance and achievement question. that leads kids toward external motivation. And what we're really looking for, the right question is, how do I help my children love Jesus more? Which is an internal motivation question. So when you climb up the ladder over here on the achievement and performance ladder, what you get is kids that are insecure, building their self-image on other people's approval, and those kinds of things. When you're over here on the, with your ladder against the right wall, asking the right question, the result is that kids know that they're embraced by God, they have a sense of their own identity, and with that sense of identity, they have a compassion and ability to love both God and the people around them.
You know, it's a pretty amazing eighth grader, though, who can stop and say, my motivation is really to love Jesus as much as I can in every way that I can, because the eighth grade environment is all one about acceptance or rejection, fitting in or not fitting in, figuring out who you are. I mean, as kids are going through adolescence, all of this stuff is swirling around in their brain. To stop and say, well, loving Jesus, that's what really matters most to me. And all the other kids at school are going to go, well, that makes you weird and outside the group and not fitting in. That's a hard place for a 14-year-old to be.
It is a very hard place for any kid to be while they're in adolescence from 12 to 20 or beyond. But I think the key issue there is the issue of identity. In fact, I would say, as a youth leader over these 30 years, that the number one question that we're trying to help kids answer is, who am I? And once that's established and that identity is built and kids know they're loved, they know their parents are around them to support them and encourage them, they know that they have some security in that, they know who they are in Christ, they can build a foundation on that. And even though as an eighth grader, they may be getting some abuse from the outside or not know what to say in response to that or whatever, they've still got that core identity that's going to carry them through and get them past all the nicks and that they're going to get from people around them.
To Bob's point, though, the eighth grader, it's going to take him a few years to get it.
Yes.
Regardless. You're really pressing the parent to know what the right question is and know how to answer the question and equip them to be able to do that.
See, if the parent doesn't understand what the right question is, certainly kids are not going to understand what the right question is. And so it's incumbent on the parents to really enter into that with their own kids, knowing what their own parenting agenda is going to be, what their parenting purpose is, what their vision is for parenting, and those kinds of things.
And do you think most parents today have got the wrong question on their lips or the wrong objective on their minds?
I don't want to say most parents. I'm not sure what the percentage would be, but in my experience in interacting with parents, most of them are asking the achievement question. Most of them are not asking the how do I help my kids love Jesus more question, which is the internal spiritual formation question. Mm-hmm. And even if they're asking that question, most of them don't know what to do in response to it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just reflect back on our parenting years of we took six through adolescence and having the right question.
And you survived.
And I did. I did. I wondered at points if we were going to do that, by the way, because honestly, they were the most challenging years of all of parenting. I mean, you're fighting the culture. You're fighting peer pressure. You're fighting, as you've said, their own insecurity. And in the process, you're trying to help them answer this question internally. And yet, as parents, you have your own stuff going on. You got your own marriage you're trying to make effective and make successful and make it work the way God designed it. And yet parents, and you mentioned this in your book, parents have what you call black holes, failures, just things that they step into all the time as they're attempting to raise their children. Share with our listeners just a few of the mistakes that parents make. And don't take a long time on them because I think we're aware that we're not doing it. But I think there's some instruction here because I think parents do a lot of beating themselves up here.
Yes, and they feel guilty about it. And as a result of that, they get paralyzed in their ability then to say, I know what my purpose is. I know what I've done in the past. I know I'm not a perfect parent. At the same time, I've got to move toward that purpose and leave the guilt behind. And I think that's a huge challenge for parents. And most parents have not given thought to their parenting purpose. They're doing the carpool run here, go there, especially if you got adolescent kids, you're trying to now figure out how do we deal with all the cultural stuff and the music and the drugs and the boyfriend and all this. And without ever really having that sort of central core value, that central core purpose that would drive you there.
You're really talking about not playing defense, but knowing...
Moving on to the offense.
Yeah, knowing where you're going and how you're going to take your child there. And to that point, I would have to say a lot of parenting feels very defensive.
Yes.
You know, around dating, drugs, alcohol, pornography, movies, dress. I mean, it's just coming at you.
Well, George Barna points out in his book that parents are in a place where really because of that, they're desperate, they lack confidence, they're not sure what they're supposed to do, and they turn their parenting responsibilities over to others, which then removes them from the equation in terms of raising up, as he calls them, spiritual champions. And I think that's a very good point mm-hmm. to make, because what we want to do is be right in the middle of helping our kids become spiritually mature as opposed to removing ourselves from that mix.
You know, I'm just reflecting as you're talking, because I'm still in the thick of this with kids at home, and I'm thinking a lot of my parenting, you described it as defensive. Well, one of my jobs is to protect my kids. I mean, that kind of goes with the territory. Maybe it's not the primary job, but if I'm not doing that, then they're either getting physically harmed or emotionally harmed, spiritually harmed. So I feel like I got to be a protector. And then I want them to get a good education, get a good job, get married, kind of the normal societal stuff. You're not saying that those are things that we need to push off the table and ignore.
No, you can't push those things off the table. That's a part of life and doing life. The problem is that at the core level, most parents have never identified what is really at the heart of what their parenting purpose is. Mm-hmm. And therefore, as a result of that, all of these things that are the normal day-to-day life things don't get impacted by that core purpose. So it's just stuff that's going on out here with no real connector at the core.
And does the Bible give us a specific purpose?
No question about it. You go over to Deuteronomy 6, and Moses is giving this electrifying speech to about 1 million people at the end of his life, saying the most important thing he's ever said, and he says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says, these commands, which you've heard today, impress these on your children. In other words, they got to be a part of your life before they can be a part of their lives. And then he says, when you talk, when you walk, when you sit around the house and so forth, talk about this stuff 24/7. So really the whole point of the Parent Fuel experience here is that we help parents, we equip parents to love God with all their hearts and to lead their kids to do the same. So the parenting purpose then would be, as a parent, I'm going to enter into this passionate pursuit of following Jesus, and I'm going to let that be the driving core force of my life.
And so if I'm a parent and I'm thinking, okay, that's my North Star, I want to do that with my kids, so I'm going to make sure that I take them to Sunday school, that I've got them in Awana, that we're memorizing some verses, we're doing bedtime prayers, I'm reading them Bible stories. Am I covering it? Am I doing the stuff I need to be doing if I'm doing that with that as my North Star?
Those things are nice, but those things are not the heart of it. Because when you get past all those activities and those kinds of things, there's more to it than that. There's a deeper thing that has to happen with your kids in terms of being a bridge, a relational bridge, and then we move toward understanding our kids' hearts and helping them understand their own hearts mm-hmm. and then helping them to connect with God. So that I take, really, as a parent, I'm saying, if I love God with all my heart, then I'm willing to accept my responsibility and the privilege of entering into the spiritual formation of my children, and that's going to be the primary core thing. It's not the only thing, but everything else around it is affected when I make that choice to say, I'm going to love God with all my heart.
Those activities Bob was talking about may be a part of helping create a heart transplant where you're giving them all the nutrients and the ingredients to grow that heart so their heart singularly devotes itself to God, right?
When you're entering into this whole world of parenting, as a lot of people who are listening are, they're right there, we need all the help we can get. So Awana is a really good thing. At Sunday school is a really good thing. And so we want to build a sort of, the way I describe it, is a net underneath and around our family. But the net is not the core.
Right.
The core is the family. The net around it is the supporting structures that help us to build an environment around our family that helps us to get there.
And if the parents don't have the real disease, it's going to be very difficult to make that heart transplant from my heart to their heart. Not that you can guarantee that they're going to necessarily accept your heart transplant.
Yeah, but if you don't have the real disease, you're not contagious. And if you're not contagious, nobody's going to catch it from you, right?
And when you do that with your kids, when you don't have that disease, then you actually are all the studies show that you're doing actually more harm
right.
than if you didn't even make a profession toward that. If you right. just weren't even going to church on a Sunday morning
hypocrisy
and then
is
living in another way the rest of the
yeah,
week.
Yeah, hypocrisy is worse than just living authentically before your
yes,
kids.
Absolutely.
Well, it's especially a word that for this generation of young people who are coming up out of the church, it's a big deal to them. Mm-hmm. They want authenticity.
Authenticity, that's the word.
And the interesting thing is, it's not just this new generation that's coming up right now, because I remember working with youth in Dallas, Texas in 1971, and I remember the young people who were surrounded by all the religious trappings. It was like someone had taken a syringe and given them an inoculation against the real disease.
Right.
They couldn't get it. The kids who were in the secular schools who were mixing it up with their friends who weren't followers of Christ and weren't committed to going to church, those kids had to hammer out their faith in the midst of a hostile environment. In fact, it made such an impression on me that as Barbara and I started out our marriage together, we started talking about kids. We talked about, how do we want to raise our children? We want to give them a war footing where their heart grows in the midst of hostility. Now, that might not be how God leads every parent, but for us, based on what we saw, having worked with youth, we felt like it was important to equip our kids to live out that life in the midst of that culture.
Authentically. That's the key, what you just said there a moment ago. If there's not authenticity, then none of that even makes any sense. And so when you think about it, really, though, it's not just that kids in this culture want authenticity. It's God himself that wants authenticity. I mean, you know, the sacrifice acceptable to the Lord is a broken spirit mm-hmm. and a broken and contrite heart he won't despise. I mean, when you look at that, it's he wants me to come to him in honesty. And really, for parents, and I found this over and over again, I absolutely hate this, but I can't tell you the number of times I've had to ask my kids forgiveness for something I've done wrong. I never enjoyed doing that ever. But what it brought was an admission that I am an imperfect parent and that I didn't handle this particular situation correctly and that I was wrong and I'm willing to take responsibility for that. That was authentic.
Uh-huh.
Now, to illustrate that for you, just even the other day, there were some things that God had shown me about myself in terms of the way I'd responded to my son when over these last 10 years in this whole blending of the family thing. And I was really in humility and tears laying this out before my son and my daughter-in-law and through tears saying to them, I am so sorry. I regret so much for the way this has hurt you and the way that impacted you. And I take responsibility for that. And I ask your forgiveness for it. And my son got off the chair, walked over to his dad, tears running down his face, wrapped his arms around me and just hugged me and cried.
That's authentic parenting right there, because it's heart to heart, being real. And, you know, whether we like it or not, some of our most authentic moments come when we admit our errors.
Absolutely.
And we ask, as you did, for
yes.
forgiveness. That's humility. That's a broken and contrite heart. And it's clear in the Bible, God blesses that. And he blesses those relationships too.
You know, I think there are a couple of questions for reflection that come out of our conversation so far. We've talked about whether you have the real disease. And I think for a parent to stop and ask this question, if somebody went to my kids and said, what matters most to your mom and dad? Would your kids go, that's easy. God matters most to my mom and dad. That's the most important thing. That's easy. I don't even have to think about that. Or would your kids have to think? Would that even be on the list they'd come up with? If it's not the first thing that had come out of their mouth, then maybe you need to pull back and say, what am I modeling for my kids? What are they seeing around the house? And then secondly, is teaching kids to love God what's really front and center of my agenda as I raise my kids?
And then really taking both of those evaluations and saying, so what? So what am I going to do different? Am I just going to acknowledge it and feel ashamed, feel guilty, and feel underperformance myself and feel like a failure as a parent? Or am I going to recalibrate and establish a fresh North Star, a fresh purpose, and define that with my spouse and begin to practically work that out in your relationship with your children, around the values of your family, around your schedule, around how you order your lives, and begin to reflect a heart that really does love God and is passing that heart on to your children.
Mm-hmm. And this is where a mom and a dad can come together, maybe get a book like the book that Barry's written, Parent Fuel, or get, you've actually got an entire video curriculum for small groups or for churches to use. Get a small group, get another group of parents together, go through the video curriculum together, and it helps get you on the same page, at least get you talking about the choices you're going to make, so that, as you said, you're in sync on this as parents. And we've got copies of Barry's book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. There's also information about the small group curriculum that is available as well. Again, it's called Parent Fuel. And if you go to familylifetoday.com, the information you need about Barry's book and about the video curriculum can be found there. Again, it's familylifetoday.com. You can also call toll-free at 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And I just want to mention, I know, Dennis, you and Barbara really took a hard look at the parenting challenges that exist in the teen years and wrote a book called Parenting Today's Adolescent that was designed to help all of us as parents navigate those challenging waters. And we've got that book in our Family Life Today Resource Center as well. Go online at familylifetoday.com for more information about any of these resources, or call us toll free at 1-800-FL-TODAY. 800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Someone on our team will be happy to help you with whatever resources you need and make arrangements to get those sent to you. And while we're on the subject of parenting, Dennis, you and I had a conversation a number of months ago with our friend Tim Kimmel about the whole issue of parenting, really looking at it globally, understanding what our assignment is as parents, and understanding how parenting and grace intersect. And of course, that conversation was recorded. We have a 2-CD set called Grace-Based Parenting. And this month, we want to make those 2 CDs available to any of our listeners who can help support the Ministry of Family Life Today with a donation of any amount. We are listener-supported. Your donations keep us on this station and on our network of stations all across the country. They help underwrite the production and syndication costs associated with this program. And again, this month, if you're able to make a donation of any amount, we want you to feel free to request a copy of the CD series Grace-Based Parenting. If you're donating online at familylifetoday.com, type the word parent in the key code box, and we'll know to send you these CDs. If you make your donation by phone, 1-800-FL-TODAY is the number. After you've made your donation, just mention that you'd like the CDs on parenting we were talking about. Our team will know what you're talking about, and we'll be happy to send them to you. And let me just say thanks for your financial support of this ministry. We do appreciate your partnership with us. Now, tomorrow we're going to be back to talk more about some of the unique challenges we face as parents, and we're going to talk about a particular challenge that Barry faced when, unexpectedly, he found himself a single parent. I hope you can be with us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.